Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know you're in trouble when you get the phone call from Madeline. And she says, and you agree to do the reading, and she says, oh, it's a long one. So bear with me, please. From Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop like the rain, my speech condense like the dew, like gentle rain on grass, like showers on new growth. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God without deceit, just and upright is he. Yet his degenerate children have dealt falsely with him, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and senseless people? Is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years long past. Ask your father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High apportioned the nations, when he divided humankind, he fixed the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the gods. The Lord's own portion was his people, Jacob his allotted share. He sustained him in a desert land, in a howling wilderness waste. He shielded him, cared for him, guarded him as the apple of his eye. Moses came and recited all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua, son of Nun. When Moses had finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words that I am giving in witness against you today. Give them as a command to your children, so that they may diligently observe all the words of this law. This is no trifling matter for you, but rather your very life. Through it, you may live long in the land that you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. On that very day, the Lord addressed Moses as follows. Ascend this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab across from Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites for a possession. You shall die there on the mountain that you ascend and shall be gathered to your kin, as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his kin. Because both of you broke faith with me among the Israelites at the waters of Meribath Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, by failing to maintain my holiness among the Israelites. Although you may view the land from a distance, you shall not enter it, the land that I am giving to the Israelites. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, as we now have read your word and contemplate what it might mean to us, I pray that your spirit will enlighten our hearts and our minds to understand and to receive the message you have for us today. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. You know, we can work for weeks. We can work for months. We can even work for years to arrive at a certain point in our lives. Let's call it our own promised land. But sometimes the promised land is not what we envisioned. Sometimes we don't even make it there. And even when we do, the promised land is not necessarily the end of the journey either. So the question for the second Sunday of Lent is, how can we let God reshape our vision of both the destination and the journey so that we can find beauty and meaning in all of it? Let me read that again to you. How can we let God reshape our vision of both the destination and the journey so that we can find beauty and meaning in all of it. So I want you to think about your life just for a moment, your own life. Is there maybe a story of a time when you were reaching for your vision of the promised land, and then you realized, well, that wasn't God's promised land for you? Maybe you thought of a particular job that was your promised land, but it turned out not to be. Or getting into a specific school or a program, or maybe living in a certain community. What is your vision of the promised land? Or when you think about your own life, maybe there's a story about a journey that ended up being more important than the destination. We all want to get to the destination, right? But in our hurry to get there, we often forget to enjoy and find meaning in the journey to our destination. So we read some verses from Deuteronomy 32. And thank you, Vic, you did a great job. And we didn't read the whole chapter. But what we read gives us a sense of God's faithfulness to the Israelites. How he was faithful to them from the very, very beginning, from creation, through their wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And it also shows us that there's a complexity of what it means to arrive at the promised land, or maybe not arrive at the promised land. And so I just want to share two thoughts with you today. And the first one is kind of like a question. Which God are we talking about? Whose promised land are we talking about? Which God, whose promised land? Verse 4 reminds us of who God is. It says, the Lord is a mighty rock, and he never does wrong. God can always be trusted to bring justice. So it says the Lord is like this mountain where his people can run to for protection from their enemies. That is who God is. He's like a mighty rock, and we can depend on him. Now the verses that follow make it clear that the people have not been faithful to God. It says, but you lie and cheat, and you're unfaithful to him. You've disgraced yourselves and are no longer worthy to be his children. Israel, the Lord is your father, the one who created you, but you repaid him by being foolish. It seems like they've forgotten God. It seems like they've turned to other gods. And they think these other gods will fulfill their immediate desires. Remember the story in Exodus 32 where they made a golden calf and worshipped it when Moses went up the mountain and made sacrifices to this golden calf? So they've forgotten God and they've turned to other gods. And in essence, they have chosen their own vision and version of the promised land over God's vision of the promised land. Now, as we make special effort during Lent to look inward and reflect on our lives and on our relationship with God, a good question to consider is, who's the rock we choose to stand on? Are we clinging to some rocks that aren't really that stable? Do we, like the Israelites, sometimes forget God and take credit for our own progress and then get frustrated with God for not doing more for us? I mean, who are the idols you pray to in hopes of arriving at the next thing you think will satisfy? What are the gods you pray to today in hopes of reaching your own version of the promised land? And maybe your God to get to the promised land is ambition, or maybe it's money, or consumerism or a form of entertainment or whatever. Do they ever disappoint you? I mean, what is your hope for the promised land? What is your vision of what it should look like? What is your expectation for the promised land? And I think the more important question is, do they align with God's promised land? Do they align with God's promises for us? I mean, one part of the Bible in Revelation 7, we get a glimpse of what God tells us in His Word about the real promised land. It says it's a place where a great number of people are gathered, so many that no one could count them. People from every nation, from every tribe, from every language of the earth. They will be in the presence of God and in the presence of Jesus, and they will worship God day and night. And those people, it says, will never be hungry again. They will never be thirsty again. The sun will not hurt them, and no heat will burn them, because Jesus will be their shepherd. And He will lead them to springs of water that gives life. And it says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's a vision of the ultimate promised land that God has for those who believe. You see, God is the solid rock on which we can build our life. Christ alone is the cornerstone. And that's who God is. And the question for us to ponder is, which God are we serving? And what promised land are we hoping for? And the second thought I have for you today is about the journey. The journey to the promised land. It's about journeying in relationship. Journeying in relationship. Because what we see in these verses and throughout the Old Testament is that the story of the past informs the story of the present and the future. And last Sunday I talked about re-remembering the story of God's provision in our lives. And so in verse 46, Moses says, always remember the song that I've taught you today. That was the first part of what Vic read. And let it be a warning that you must teach your children to obey everything written in the book of God's law. The law isn't empty words. It can give you a long life in the land that you are going to take. He says, these words are no small matter to you. It's really your life. And what it means is that this history between God and His people, this relationship between God and His people, it's not just a precursor to the promised land. It's really their very life. Because we're all part of a bigger story. And what we need to do is to shift from an arrival mindset to a journey mindset. But not simply a journey mindset, but a journey in relationship mindset. Because we are in relationship with God. And with Him, we are on our way to the promised land. In Scripture, we see how God is in relationship with the Israelites. He's present in their here and now journey. But He still moves the people forward into the promised land, giving them hope for the future. And so He's with them in their journey. On our way to the destination, God is also present here and now. Because you see, God is in all things, including the difficult times we experience. And there's an ongoing movement of God. God is not stationary. And so when the Israelites arrive at the promised land, the journey is not finished. It is in itself another part of the bigger journey of God with God's people, both in Scripture and in history. And so, you know, we always think we will someday arrive in this life. Whatever that place is, or whatever that arrival looks like for you. Maybe it's financial security, or maybe it's, you know, the right landing, the right job, or maybe it's having grandchildren or a big house or whatever. Whatever it is, but we zoom out to this bigger journey through life. And what if there is the possibility that we as individuals may not arrive in this lifetime? Maybe you will never arrive at what your vision is for your personal promised land. Even Moses does not arrive at the promised land, but he does get to see it from a distance, it says. Now, does this mean that Moses has failed? Does it mean his own journey with God and with the Israelites has no value? Of course not. Because Moses played a significant part in the story of God's people and experienced many blessings, many, many blessings along the way. And his time with them shaped their future forever. But in the end, it was not Moses' role to lead them into the promised land. And I'm sure he was bitterly, bitterly disappointed. And yet he faithfully empowered Joshua to do so. You see, we need to identify and embrace our own parts in this bigger story of God and humanity. But there are some things we will simply not be doing. There are some things we might never see. Maybe there will be disappointment for you as a result of it. There will be times when chicks turn out to be peeps. But we need to let go of what is not ours to do or to receive. And so part of our inward looking this Lent is to critically reflect on our own vision of what it means to have arrived. And where has this vision come from, by the way? Is it of this world, or is it part of God's promises and his vision of what your promised land looks like? How does your view of what it means to arrive compare to what God promises us in Scripture? And what parts of your vision might God be asking you to let go of? What is your role in God's biggest story as you understand it right now? Because in so many ways, it's not only the destination that is important. It's the journey as well. And on this journey, God promises to be with you. And he says, I will be with you always, always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you that you're always with us. Thank you for the journey through life. May we understand that on this journey, we are in relationship with you. And that you love us and that you care for us and you want what's best for us. But sometimes what we envision to be the promised land is not your vision of what the promised land is. May we continue to look inward and discover where it is that we follow our own vision, where it is that we worship the gods we think will bring us satisfaction. And in the process, we neglect you as the ultimate rock. And we neglect your Son, Jesus, as the cornerstone of our lives and our faith. Will you enable us to seek your direction and to invite you to lead us every step of the way on this journey through life, so we get to your promised lands and your promises for our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.